The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 19, Text Number 36, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on December 22, 2009, in Sydney, Australia.
So today we're continuing on in this ever-increasing nectarian series, Srimad Bhagavatam. Fourth Canto, Chapter 19, Text Number 36. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ebir Indra Pasang Srishtai Pakandair Hari Virjanam Shriyamanang Vichakshvainang Yaste yagya drugvish ashvamut. Yaste yagya drugashvamut. Ebir Indra pasang shrishtai. Pakandair hari birjanam. Hriyamanang vichakshvainang. Yaste yagya drug ashvamut. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Just see how Indra, the king of heaven, was creating a disturbance in the midst of a sacrifice by stealing the sacrificial horse. These attractive sinful activities he has introduced will be carried out by the people in general, purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 3.21, yajyadacharati shreshtas tattari vedharojana siyat pramanam kurute lokastat anuvartate. Whatever action is performed by a great man, common men follow in his footsteps. And whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. For his own sense gratification, King Indra thought to defeat Maharaj Prithu in the performance of 100 horse sacrifices. Consequently, he stole the horse and hid himself amid so many irreligious personalities, taking on the false guise of a sannyasi. Such activities are attractive to people in general, therefore they are dangerous. Lord Brahma thought that instead of allowing Indra to further introduce such irreligious systems, it would be better to stop the sacrifice. A similar stance was taken by Lord Buddha when people were overly engrossed in the animal sacrifices recommended by Vedic instructions. Lord Buddha had to introduce the religion of nonviolence by contradicting the Vedic sacrificial instructions. Actually, in the sacrifices, the slaughtered animals were given a new life, but people without such powers were taking advantage of such Vedic rituals and unnecessarily killing poor animals. Therefore, Lord Buddha had to deny the authority of the Vedas for the time being. One should not perform sacrifices that will induce reversed orders. It is better to stop such sacrifices. As we have repeatedly explained, due to a lack of qualified dominical priests in Kali Yuga, it is not possible to perform the ritualistic ceremonies recommended in the Vedas. Consequently, the Shastras instruct us to perform the Sankirtan Yajna. By the Sankirtan sacrifice, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His form of Lord Chaitanya will be satisfied and worshipped. The entire purpose of performing sacrifices is to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna is present in His form of Lord Chaitanya, Therefore, people who are intelligent should try to satisfy him by performing Sankirtan Yajna. This is the easiest way to satisfy Lord Vishnu in this age. People should take advantage of the injunctions in different shastras concerning sacrifices in this age and not create unnecessary disturbances during the sinful age of Kali. In Kali Yuga, men all over the world are very expert in opening slaughterhouses for killing animals which they eat. If the old ritualistic ceremonies were observed, people would be encouraged to kill more and more animals. In Calcutta, there are many butcher shops which keep a deity of the goddess Kali, and the animal eaters think it proper to purchase animal flesh from such shops in hope that they are eating the remnants of food offered to goddess Kali. They do not know that goddess Kali never accepts non-vegetarian food because she is the chaste wife of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is also a great Vaishnava and never eats non-vegetarian food, and the goddess Kali accepts the remnant of food left by Lord Shiva. Therefore, there is no possibility of her eating flesh or fish. Such offerings are accepted by the associates of goddess Kali, known as Bhutas, Pishachas, and Rakshasas. And those who take the prasad of goddess Kali in the shape of flesh or fish are not actually taking the prasad left by goddess Kali, but the food left by the Bhutas and the Pisachos. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Barakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Sahagana Raguna Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sajaita Savaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
Just see how they're being fooled. They're thinking they're getting Kali Prasad. Instead, they're getting the remnants of ghosts. We are fortunate that Prabhupada is not cheating us, you see. He's giving us how to get the prasad of Krishna, the genuine system. In other words, if one is running after sense gratification, which itself is a cheating activity, you see. Why? Because everything is the property of God. The sense gratification mentality means thief. He wants to take that which is fully pleasure of God, and he wants to enjoy it for himself. So he is cheater. The sense gratifier means he is cheater. So it is natural that the cheaters, they will become cheated. As Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur always stated, the world material society, it is simply a society of the cheaters and the cheated. As we say, what goes around comes around. So if you cheat, you will definitely be cheated. That's a fact. That is a law of nature. If you cheat, you will be cheated. So, if we do not want to be cheated, then we should stop being cheaters. Instead of trying to take that which is enjoyable by God as our enjoyable objects of sense gratification, we should simply engage everything in the pleasure of Krishna. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shuntam richati. Krishna very clearly states in the 5th chapter, text number 29 of the Bhagavad Gita, that I am the enjoyer of everything, because I am the owner of everything, and I am the best friend of everyone, and only one who knows this can have peace. So any position not to that standard, one cannot be peaceful. Even if one comes to the position of impersonal Brahman realization, still they cannot be peaceful. If you encroach upon the property of others, you see, that is criminal mentality. It's actually foolish. If you think about it, you know, it's a very foolish thing. Because Krishna is stating in the Bhagavad Gita very clearly, ananyaschintayantomam ye jana paryapasate Tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogachemam vahamyaha. For those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. I mean, just imagine if the supreme owner, the supreme controller of everything that exists is going to give you whatever you need whenever you need it. Who needs money? Yeah, we are thinking we need money, you see, that is our illusion. No money, no honey. But actually, all we need is pure bhakti. Because if we have pure bhakti, and as Prabhupada pointed out in one lecture, elaborating on this verse, ananyaschintayantamam, he said that Krishna personally delivers to your door whatever you're needing. You see, Krishna becomes the FedEx or DHL man. Whatever you need, he is providing. So, you may say, but I'm a devotee and I don't see that Krishna is providing. I have to struggle to survive here in Sydney. What do you mean Krishna delivers everything I need to my door? Well, we have to also note, for those who worship maybe with exclusive devotion, exclusive means there's not even a slight tinge of devotion to anything other than Krishna, you see. There's not even a slight tinge of, devoted to my body, my family members. I mean, everything completely, totally, 100% goes to Krishna, that exclusive devotion. So if I don't see how Krishna is providing everything, thinking that I have to struggle, then it means I'm still mixed in my devotion. My bhakti is not yet pure, you see. But for one whose bhakti is absolutely pure, Krishna provides everything personally to them. So instead of struggling and to be the enjoyer of this world, we should struggle to see that everything I am doing, every thought, every word, every deed, in all times, places, and circumstances is meant to please Krishna. You see? I'm not saying you should quit your job or something like that. But that we have to always understand that is secondary. Our activities of earning livelihood, that is secondary business. Our primary business must always be how to awaken that mood of everything for Krishna's enjoyment. Everything. Because that mood will, when everything is for Krishna, and there's nothing in my heart that is not being offered to Krishna, everything, absolutely everything is being offered to Krishna. That's when Krishna starts, that's when he reciprocates like anything with his devotee. Yomang pashyati sarvatra sarvangcha mai pashyati tashahang na pranashame satchamena pranashyati. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita chapter 6, text number 30. He says that for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So as we learn how to increase that fire of bhakti in the heart, and diminish more and more and more that sense gratification fire which is competing with it in the heart, then we will become more and more conscious of Krishna within everything and everything within Krishna. You see, that right now we are dazzled by the material nature. But by this process of awakening Krishna consciousness, gradually, 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 we will not be so much dazzled anymore by the material nature. We'll become dazzled by the source of all dazzling beauty himself, Lord Sri Krishna. Gradually our dazzlement will become spiritualized. Instead of being materially dazzled, we become spiritually dazzled. Instead of being knocked over by the sight of a beautiful young girl or a handsome young guy, we'll be knocked over by the sight of Radha Gopinath, is it? As Lord Chaitanya. When he was completely knocked over by Jagannath Darshan, he fainted in ecstasy to see the deity. You see? So, gradually we can develop these very high-level devotional sentiments by the process of sadhana bhakti so kindly given to us by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. If we will dutifully chant our at least 16 rounds daily and follow strictly the regulated principles and dedicate our life to this mission of Srila Prabhupada, working together as a member of this wonderful ISKCON spiritual family, then through this process that Prabhupada has given us, that purification of heart will gradually, gradually manifest. And that glorious day will come, will dawn. When that day will eventually come and we will see Krishna face to face, eye to eye. So in this way, we can understand how fortunate we are. How very, very fortunate we are, the recipients of Prabhupada's mercy. So let us take full advantage of this mercy and make our lives successful. So are there any questions? Yes.
Sometimes it's hard to make that leap of faith. Like, mm-hmm. Sometimes it's hard to make the leap of faith if you're in a situation.
Sometimes it's hard to make the leap of faith. So how do we make the leap of faith when right now all we really know is sense gratification? You know, if I'm hungry, I put some food in my mouth, etc., etc., etc. How do you make that leap of faith thinking, well, you know, you're telling me that if I sacrifice my sense gratification, I'm going to get something better, but I'm doing that, but I haven't gotten the better thing yet. So how do I really, you know, put my faith? Well, we put our faith because we saw Prabhupada. We could see he was living in a higher plane of consciousness. We could see he was living in a different world, even though he was apparently walking around, you know, on this planet. We could see that Prabhupada was living in a whole other existence. He was not a person of this world. He was living in the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, at every minute. Wherever he may be, Sydney, US, India, it didn't matter where Prabhupada was, he was living in Vrindavan at every minute. And we felt something unique in his presence. We could feel how we were being transformed and carried into another dimension just by being there in his presence. So that gave us great faith in this process. To see such a personality, to serve such a personality, to be with such a personality who was obviously from a different planet. You see? So, and he told us, if you do like this, then you'll get this result. So we put faith in his words, and we tried it, and we felt some transformation. And that transformation, it's not like all of a sudden, it's like a dawn, you know. And the sun comes up in the morning, is it dark, and all of a sudden you have the full noonday sun? No, it's gradual, slowly, slowly present. But if I look back at the difference in my consciousness now and where it was back in 1971 when I first moved into the ashram, it's humongous difference of consciousness. And anyone who has stuck it out with this process of Krishna consciousness can testify exactly the same thing. The difference in my between my consciousness now and my consciousness then is humongous difference. So I can see, I saw it in Prabhupada, I can see it in myself also. It's a change of consciousness. Of course, we have a long way to go, but we've come a long way also. And the further we get along this pathway, the sweeter it gets. That's a fact. If one stays on this pathway faithfully, year after year, it just gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. So what does that tell me? If it's gotten this much sweeter after 38 years, now going on 39 years of practice, then what will be the result after another 39 years of practice? Is it? So if one analyzes things with a cool head, then one can get great faith to make, great encouragement to make that leap of faith. Prabhupada also said in this connection, if you want to gamble, do you like to gamble? All right. You make this gamble. Give your life to Krishna. You see. And see the result. Another way of looking at it is this. Well, you tried everything else. You know, you've been going through the 8,400,000 species since time immemorial. You've been a demigod, you've been Indra, you've been in Indra Gopa, you've tried everything under the sun. Why not, you know, in millions and billions of lifetimes, you've tried every conceivable way to enjoy, and you still came back again not being satisfied with all the previous attempts trying to enjoy once more. Why not just try one time, or one lifetime, giving up the enjoying mood and just serve the supreme enjoyer? Just make an experiment, a scientific experiment. Give this one life simply to serve the supreme enjoyer. And if you don't like it, you can come back again and try to enjoy it in this material world. No one will stop you. You see? But we tried everything else. All right, now just one life. You see? I've served my senses for millions and billions of lifetimes. Now for one life, let me make the experiment to try the other thing, and that's to serve the Lord of the Master of the Senses, Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam. For this one lifetime, let me make the experiment. Instead of trying to serve my senses in this lifetime, I will simply try to serve the Lord of the Senses and see what the difference is. What is the end result of doing that? I've experienced the end result of serving my senses for millions and billions of lifetimes, and I'm still not satisfied. So why not try the opposite thing of serving the Lord of the senses, just for this one lifetime, and see what the result is? You see, this is the challenge that we make to those who are a little skeptical. All right. What do you have to lose? Give this one lifetime to serve the Lord of the senses, Rishikesha, and then judge by the result. You see? Is that all right? Yes.
I was talking to this Christian in the train, and he was saying that if God's so good and compassionate, even though I might have a little bit of fault eat meat, as I was talking about meat eating, he'd take me back anyway.
But God is well. God is so kind and merciful. Even if you have a little fault, He'll take you back anyway.
Yeah, like he was saying that you may. I follow Christianity, and in our faith, we're allowed to eat meat.
Yeah,
so you're saying you're not. But I have faith in God that He'll take me back. What you're saying?
Yeah. The thing is, my dear sir, I notice that every Sunday after you go to church, you take your family to McDonald's. You see, that's part of your weekly ritual. If you go to church on Sunday morning, you stop by McDonald's. Now, God is very kind. You have to understand. If He were to take you to His abode, you see, what would you do? You say, well, Lord, it's so wonderful to be here. And you start looking around, but by the way, my Lord, where's your McDonald's? You say, well, I'm sorry, we don't have them. We only have Govindas here. And if you want McDonald's, you'll have to come back to Sydney because we don't have it in Galop. So the fact is that God is very kind. As long as you have that desire to eat meat, He will fulfill your desire. He'll give you a place to live where meat is available. Even according to the Bible, it is stated that in the kingdom of God, the lamb and the lion sit side by side peacefully. You understand? The lion is a carnivorous beast. In this world, if there's a little lamb sitting there, you'll immediately gobble up that little lamb. But in the spiritual world, even the carnivorous lion, he does not eat the little lamb. You understand? So according to Bible, the kingdom of God is a vegetarian place. So as long as you have, my dear sir, the desire to eat flesh, then God will be very kind. He will give you a place of residence where flesh is available, namely this material existence. So that is God's kindness. He appreciates you trying to love Him. But He also notes you have this strong desire for flesh eating, and He will fulfill that desire. He'll give you a place where you can go to McDonald's on Sunday afternoon after church. Any other questions? I remember I gave this example in Melbourne, and somebody got so angry they started yelling and screaming. They stormed out of the temple room finally. I was shocked. But it's a fact. God gives us what we want.
What about when Christian says, I care of what they have and deserve what they don't?
Yeah.
So if he's trying to go back home, back to God, but he's doing that fault, there's no.
Preserve what they have and carry what they lack, but he's feeling that he's lacking meat. So God will provide the meat through the agency of the material energy, you see. Actually, God is providing for everyone, even those who aren't devoted to Him. But through the agency of the material energy, God is facilitating everyone. But for the devotee, he facilitates through the agency of the spiritual energy. Just like the government, they have facility. If you're eager to advance, the government has the state university. Just like in the United States, there's one state called Pennsylvania. So they have Penn State. That's the state university. And for those who aren't... But for those who want to be criminal, they have the state pen, the state penitentiary. It's Penn State or the state pen, you see. So, the government is giving both things. If you want to advance, all right, the government says, here, you can advance yourself. Here's our university. And the government also has a facility for those who want to try to rebel against the government. All right, we give you a place. The prison, you see. So God is providing everyone. So which way you want to be facilitated? To advance or to be punished? God has given you in either case. Which one do you want? You see? That is the choice we have. I want to do it to advance myself to higher levels of consciousness, to an intimate loving relationship with the Supreme Person, or I want to be just simply associated with his material nature in the form of sattva-gun, rajagun, tamagun. Everyone has a choice. That is God's kindness. He doesn't want to force anyone to be his devotee. Devotee means voluntary, not by force. Questions more? Everyone satisfied now? Ecstatic? Ready to kick out the sense gratification mood once and for all? Kick it with boot in the face. All right, so we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Antaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.